It's Mornings with Ed. And what I've been talking about all day is honoring a very special Laguna Beach local that we've had here for quite some time and just deserving of a little honor. So I'm going to start this off like this and make sure that this person can hear it.
This is Your Life, America's most talked about program. Now, here he is, Mr. This Is Your Life himself.
Yeah, never mind about who this is. We're talking about Tyler Russell. So, Tyler Russell, yes, man, yes. Here we go. Let me turn everybody up in here.
What?
Yeah, This Is Your Life, Tyler Russell. Thank you.
Me.
So, yes, me. You. When I thought of this concept, I thought, well, who is it in Laguna Beach that I'd like to honor? And I'm not blowing smoke up your butt. I would never do that, man. Uh-huh. Who is it in Laguna Beach that's important to me, you know? Okay, so here we go. I moved here over 20 plus years ago. And when I moved here, there was barren, man. There was no radio. There was nothing cool. No target to be cool in town other than the normal lifestyle that we lead. 6 years ago, man, you started something cool. So let me tell the audience that doesn't know this here. KX93.5 was founded October 5th, 2012, in Laguna Beach right here by you, Tyler Russell.
15th, but who's counting?
And it does say 15th, but I just misread it. Thank you. That's another, I get an air check session here while I'm doing this. So I actually get an,
for review.
I get an air, you know what? I was looking forward to an air check session with you. You were then 23 years old and a graduate of Chapman University, raised in Tucson, moved to California in 2007 to start your broadcasting career. Here's why I love you. I can only say this. I can tell everybody about the personal stuff that I've learned about you in the last year that makes me like you so much, okay? I can talk about that, but professionally is where you hit me, man. You hit me because you believe our audience can be connected through a local radio station that immerses itself into the arts, the cultures, and the events of this community. You believe that talented, unrecognized musicians deserve exposure, and you strive that we be a resource for them. You, Tyler Russell, believe that our audience is witty, intelligent, and sophisticated in their musical taste. Our music reflects that, and the people on air also reflect that. And you, yourself, personally, during your three-hour show, you reflect that. And again, this is just professional love, man. This is something that you don't see everywhere. And I'm
why?
Well, again, this is your life, buddy. This is your life. And you strive to bring people together through real-time live announcing, as we do all the time, local news, traffic, emergency preparedness, everything, man. So I asked myself, well, I like this guy professionally. I really do. Who is Tyler Russell personally? So in order to get that answer, I had to go to people that actually knew. So
who is Tyler? I think
my
the four
mom.
People that you see sitting here in front of you, he's a part of all of us in a different way. And on a different day, he'll be exactly like his dad, where I think none of us thought he would ever be like his dad. And now he's basically turned into his dad. But still in there, there's a piece of me that'll come out. There's a piece of Pa and Mamu. So I think that what you see here in front of you is part of who he is and why he is today.
Well, he never stands
That's
still.
That's my dad.
He's 40 years old. So you have to remember, you know, he's been in radio for 12 years. He started when he was 18, you know, so, and the station's now, what, 6 years old?
Right.
He was 23. You know, so he's passionate about what he believes in and what he does, and, you know, he doesn't stand still. So he's still very ambitious and very driven, and I think this station and this community benefited from that.
So I did this quite some time ago, and I got these people together in the room. I figured, well, you know, who would know you better, right? Who can I go to for these answers? And I got my answer yesterday. I had wanted to do this last week, but I'm glad that we waited until you got back from Kentucky, because I saw the love in your face about your family and finding out about your roots. And maybe it was the whiskey, I'm not sure. But
it was.
But that made me think, man, this guy is just deeply rooted in family. And not just, you know, not just the superficial rooting that seems to happen. It seems to happen up the generations with your, let's say, your grandmother.
I went over to their house in Tulsa.
The heck?
And he was maybe 5 months old. And he looked at me and just almost jumped out of his mother's arms with his hand stretched out to me.
That's how a grandmother falls in love with a baby right there, man. That's how it happens. So tell me a little bit about your grandmother.
where am I right now?
This is your life. You know, I can do that again, actually. So here, let's do this. This is where you are.
Oh.
The 50s.
I see.
This is your life, America.
That's where you are.
Well, first of all, I just want to say all morning I've heard you teasing that you're going to talk about a Laguna local. And I've thought, God, this must be important because you've teased it like 20 times and you haven't said who it is. Right. And I'm like, man, who on earth could he be talking about?
Right.
It's me, which is amazing.
Right.
So thank you.
No.
To answer your question, my grandma's the sweetest lady who's ever lived on the face of the earth. She never doesn't have a smile on your face, her face, but she does have a little bit of spicy Southern side to her as well if she needs to bring it out. But she's the only person in my family who will still like kiss me on the lips 10 times a day. she's just the cuddliest.
She's grandma.
In all of her 5-foot glory.
So I thought to myself, and again, yeah, you sit here and I know, and if you don't know him, for everything that this guy is, he's modest. Above everything else, you have a modesty that is really an attractive quality in someone so talented and so skilled. So I commend you for that, man. You're a great actor.
Oh, yes, thank you.
But, you know, I see a lot of what I, and now that I know them a little better, I see a lot of where you get your modesty and your smarts. I see where that comes from.
I was 40 when he was born, so, and we were determined to, I had a terrible father figure, several father figures. My mother, bless her heart, was married 5 times, so I have 2 sisters from different fathers, so I was determined to be a good dad, and that meant at 40 it was easier to do, because I made sure I made every soccer game or tennis match or school play. If I was in my 20s, I'm not sure I would have done that. So, you know, he became an immediate part of the family. He went everywhere we went. We traveled together. You know, at one point when, I can't remember, he was 9 or 10, he comes to us and goes, what are we doing for our anniversary? And we go, well, it's really not your anniversary. Yeah. It's our anniversary. You just happen to get to go along with it. So, yeah, we've always been pretty close.
Yeah, that's a great guy right there, man. That's a great guy. And he raised a great son.
Yeah. I can't. Don't ask me to talk about him. I won't.
I will talk about the time that you initially, since you went to visit again yesterday, I will talk about a time that you moved away from your grandparents and what it did to them.
As I put it, took part of my heart away when he was 4 years old. They moved from Tulsa to Tucson. Well, Texas first, and then Tucson. And we bought a motorcycle. I was about to go crazy. Anyway, after that, every year, he would fly to stay with us. The first time he flew, they took him to Phoenix, so he didn't have to change planes. Put a 5-year-old on the plane with his bear. What was his bear's
name?
Kevin. Tyler and Kevin came to Tulsa, and we would spend 3 weeks with him. He didn't want to go home. That first year, we went home with him because I couldn't put him back on that plane.
Okay, now we're sitting here with Monica and Alyssa in the room, and tell us a little bit about Kevin.
Oh, well, Kevin's a real bear now because I lost him when I was 10 in Canada. So I'm pretty sure he lives there in the woods now.
Okay.
At the time, The Velveteen Rabbit was one of my favorite books. So I knew that stuffed animals became alive when they got lost. So I remember Kevin vaguely. He was a womb bear I had when I was born, who stopped working after a while, but still was my bear.
Right.
And then when I was 10, when I lost him, I replaced him with Radcliffe, who still sits on my shelf.
I've
always had a bear.
Very cool. And to this day, do you kind of struggle to think, where did I leave him?
Yes, actually. And I think it was in an airport. I do. And we even went back to that airport specifically just to look, and it's lost and found. And we never found him.
I've got that story here.
Kevin decided, if you've, what's the name of that book? Where the bear goes away.
I just told you, Mom.
What?
Velvet rabbit.
Oh, the Velveteen Rabbit.
Okay.
So Kevin pulled a Velveteen Rabbit on 1 year, and actually we were going to Canada. And I think we got to Canada, and Kevin decided that he wanted to go be a real bear in the force of Canada. So that's where Kevin is now.
Was that a heartbreaking moment?
When that, yeah. We spent hours in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, so lost and found, looking for Kevin.
American Airlines, and every time I flew American, I went to lost and found to see if Kevin had showed up. That's when we finally figured out that Kevin was now a real bear.
You know, you don't get more supportive parents than that, man. You know, you really don't. Going back to the airport, I'm sorry, you lost your bear, but that's it. You're done, but yeah. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. And one of the many things I admire about you, aside from the things I've already mentioned, in the 6 years that the radio station's been up, and I've only been here for a year, but in the 6 years that it's been up, you've made some great decisions. And not just, these aren't decisions that are just to make your life better. You've made decisions that make the people that are here, their lives better. And I see you and Monica go out on calls. I see you talking to people that we know here in the community. And I wonder, I swear, where did this guy get his business acumen, man? Where did he get his business acumen?
Probably with this station, because we knew he was talented and he wanted to be in radio or television. And we went to a lot of auditions together, and he got cast and some things, and he was hired right away as a DJ. But, you know, he wanted to run his own radio station at, you know, 23 years old. And, you know, iHeart's not going to hire somebody 23 years old. So how do you do that? Well, you start your own station. So he found the signal that was dormant. It was attached to a church in Laguna Niguel, and this was Thanksgiving, and you know, he said, he called the pastor, and they said, yeah, we can't really use it, we don't have the money, and it doesn't seem to work, and it would go dormant at the end of that calendar year. So this is literally 4 weeks later that KX93.5 would not exist, KXRN radio would not exist. So you know, he bought it. You know, we hooked it up to an iPad and notified the FCC that we were on the air. And I think, you know, he's been around me long enough to know that you have to be comfortable with risk, and, you know, you have to be decisive, and you have to have smart people around you, you know, and that's really what he did. He surrounded himself with people who were as passionate about radio as he was, and I was never surprised that it worked. I always knew that it would, right? Because he was so determined to make sure it was successful.
I think though it goes all the way back to Chapman, because he did the same thing at Chapman, where he designed
college radio. You know, they didn't have a radio station at Chapman, so he launched that there, and it's now a part of their permanent curriculum. So we knew he had the will and the ability to start up stuff, you know, and he's continued to do that.
So Tyler, let me ask you this. What possessed you to want to be in radio? I mean, musically, where were you at this point in your life? What was it that made you want to make that step?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be an actor, like my dad mentioned. So we would literally fly the same flight to LAX every week from Tucson to have meetings with my agent and manager at the time when I was 12 or 13 years old, right, and go to auditions. And he says I got things, but I didn't. I didn't get anything. I mean, I got close a couple times, and right, I almost got cast in this thing that would have been shot in Hawaii. And I realized I just didn't want to do it. I didn't want to leave my friends. I didn't want to have that life. I didn't want to travel. I wasn't ready for it. And I always wanted to not waste the time I spent trying to be an actor and somehow use those abilities, but maybe do something that was a little more niche and a little less competitive. And I interned at a radio station when I was 17, my senior year, 94.9 Mix FM, with Bobby Rich in Tucson, who like founded the morning zoo format in San Diego with B100 in the 60s and 70s. Right. And I interned with him and thought, man, this must be it, because he told me, and everybody would then tell me for years, nobody my age is interested in this medium.
Right.
Nobody.
Right.
Everybody wants to be an actor if they're good at, if they're talented, or maybe be on TV, maybe be on the news, but certainly not radio.
Right.
So I found myself the only 18-year-old who cared about it. And that made me like it even more because it was like, okay, if I'm the only one, then now I really will stand out.
Right.
But then I became passionate about this kind of radio because I interned all through college, again, pushed by my dad to intern freshman year, which the university said, you don't need to do that. Just wait till your senior year. But nope, I started first semester freshman year at K Earth 101 and was told the same thing that I've heard over and over again is don't go into this business.
Right.
If you're going to get a college degree,
Alyssa's shaking her head.
Do something else besides go into this business.
Right.
And why do you want to be a jock? You seem smart. Like, don't be talent.
Right.
But that's what I wanted to do.
Right.
And I just kept at it and realized that not only do I want to go into this business, I want to morph it. I want to change it and evolve it. So, you know, you hear success stories all the time of people being told no forever. I wasn't really being told no. I was just being told don't.
Right.
Like, get out. And that pushed me even more. So, I mean, I guess that's how I ended up sticking with it. And it's how I ended up switching to this kind of radio, local indie radio that I feel can make a difference.
Right. And it show your chops in the industry show. I mean, it just, it overflows with shows. And I want you to know that the younger people really appreciate it. The camps that we have here in the summer, the broadcast camps with the kids, and then we've got a kid, Alyssa, the kid on the in the afternoons.
You
bring youth here, and so let me ask you, the kid that we have in the afternoon, do you? His name is
Gavin.
Gavin,
and he's a graduate of radio camp.
Now, did you have yourself in mind when you wanted to have youth come in?
Yes, okay. It's very important to me that kids these days understand why this 150-year-old medium is important.
Right.
And why it still matters, why it's relevant, and how they can contribute to it sticking around. Because all they know is Spotify and Pandora and Apple Music.
Right.
And it's really important that they understand where that came from and why this medium needs to continue.
Agreed. Very well put. Monica, could he have been an actor? could he have been an actor? You can see him. I can see him in the leading role.
Honestly, he might be too talented to be an actor.
Oh man, that's nice.
You know,
wow,
that's very sweet.
So, I mean, that's what I think about that. I think acting is definitely a different kind of thing, and I think some of them are struggling artistically inside and stuff. He's far too happy.
he's far too happy to be an actor, right?
So I think he's exactly where he needs to be. Plus business, his head is business, and
right.
It really is. And so he needed something to do.
Right. So I again, one of the many things that Alyssa and I talk about and admire about you is your understanding of music of all kinds, of all genres. You have this deep understanding of every genre there is, man. And that is not only rare, it's just wonderful to see. And I wondered where that came from.
Yeah, that's kind of what got him interested in classic music. I don't, for whatever reason, kept vinyl and had thousands of vinyl records in boxes.
At one time, that's all we had.
Yeah, and we're cleaning them out one day, and Tyler literally picked one up and said, "Dad, what is this?" He had never seen an album. So we gave them all to him, bought a turntable, and he became a huge fan of The Doors, and Doobie Brothers, Zeppelin, The Beatles.
Yep. Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong.
That's why he's so knowledgeable about that music.
I actually had all 13 Beatles albums unopened. So I come home one day, and he and his friends are down in the basement playing the White Album. And I go, "Oh, crap. Tell me you didn't open that record. What do you mean?" I said, "Those are original. They're still sealed." "Oh."
Well, they're yours now, Tyler.
I have 12 sealed and one unsealed.
So did you know the value of those albums when that happened, man?
You can never really believe most of what my dad says. I'm sure there were two copies of the White Album, and I'm sure one of them was unopened, and I'm sure I was smart enough to play that one. But I really don't remember.
Okay. Do you still have those albums, by the way, or does he?
He the only records he has are those, okay. are the Beatles records. Yeah. He gave literally the rest of them to me.
Right on.
And our whole living room is set up to play vinyl. I mean, that's what our living room is. And we should do it more. You know, we really enjoy it, and we don't do it enough.
All right, right on. Let's hear this from your mom.
I think there's lots of moments that make me proud, but what just came to mind is, I think, is when he decided to go out of state to go to college and how he really flourished there. And I think some of that makes you proud because you were a part of building that character of who he was so that he could be independent, make independent decisions, develop his own major in college.
When you left for college, were you the party guy that left, or were you
God. No. Definitely not.
No, you were the stick in the mud among your friends?
Not a stick in the mud. I just had really geeky friends, and that's what I gravitated toward. You know, I went to this one dude's room every week to play Super Smash Bros, and I was a member of the poker club. Like, that's what I did mostly in college. Yeah.
No chess?
I wasn't good enough at chess. All my friends were better than me. Yeah.
All right. I asked your mom what she missed the most about your growing up.
No, nothing. I guess I miss when he's become an adult. You know, he doesn't need you as much anymore.
I don't think that's true either, though.
I call them every day. I call them every day. So, I don't agree with that either.
And she has a segment on your show that's probably one of the most popular segments that we have here on air.
Yeah, so see, I do need her.
What an awesome thing. The Mom on the Rock, how did you think of that, man? That's just such a genius idea.
Well, you know, my dad doesn't give enough credit to my mom's knowledge and appreciation of classic rock music as well. They're 12 years apart, so their musical tastes are a little bit different. They're about a decade different. So where my dad likes, you know, The Doors and Them and Moody Blues, my mom likes Rod Stewart and Bon Jovi and, you know, some other more leaning late 70s, early 80s stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I got both from each of them. And so I like to honor her knowledge for rock music, too, because, you know, she'll be 60 in a couple years. Mm-hmm. And she still goes to every concert she can. So I think that's cool and want to acknowledge it on the air.
Right on. Yeah. Right on, man. And maybe someday we'll have your dad on the rock. You know, so maybe...
He doesn't really like to be on the radio. I'm surprised you got him to do this. I think if it was about anything other than me, he would have said no.
He was awesome in here. So, I want you to know this. I brought Monica in here to lay some sound down for me as well. And... I'm not kidding when I tell you this. I said, tell me what you love about Tyler. She went on for like 75 minutes and I had to edit it down. So I'm going to give you a little bit of the edited of what Monica gave me that day. And then I want her to jump in and embellish here.
So Tyler's very romantic and I
am jump right into that.
Not, I wasn't. And I think he swept me off my feet. We went on a couple of dates. This was after a very messy breakup. Or a hard breakup, I should say, for both of us. And I think we went away for like an overnight at like the boat, I think it was, one of the most romantic nights. And I think that was when I really let myself just be in the moment and finally let go of my logical brain and let him sweep me off my feet, which... A, has never happened, and B, I'm not very comfortable with happening. So I would say my falling in love with him would be letting him be romantic as he wanted, and then reciprocating.
Has he made you more romantic?
Oh, yes. Now it's all about like the romance, and it's really all about surprising the other person and one-upping each other. I mean, we're both Capricorns. We're very competitive, naturally. So if I get a great surprise from him, then I in turn have to go and one-up that.
So does she have to one-up you on everything you do, Tyler?
Oh, well, she already has. She's already well surpassed me. I feel guilty now. Like, you know, I got her like a, you know, ceramic ornament for Mother's Day. She got me like a $500 subscription to this online video class thing that I really wanted.
I would never spend $500. Definitely on sale. Had to have been on sale.
Mike. She definitely is a one-upper now.
All right, right on. Well, I love seeing the two of you in the office, man. I love the chemistry. You guys could have been a great midday show together. This is great chemistry right here, man.
Well, alas, she's resigning.
So I was wondering how you'd be as a dad, man.
I think he's already a great dad. You know, I mean, we were surprised to see him so willing to embrace Monica's kids. They were 16 and 15 and 11, you know, when we met them. And I think he's already demonstrated he's a great dad. There's a difference between being a dad of teenagers, being dad of a newborn. Yeah. But I think he'll be fine.
Monica, you wrote something beautiful on Facebook just a couple of days ago about how wonderful of a stepfather he is to your kids, man.
Yeah.
Give us a couple, let the audience know a couple of seconds of what you...
So to know Tyler and I, it's like, I wrote him an essay once and I think he really loved that. That was something, you know, he's a journalist. So it's like, okay, writing is good. And as long as he doesn't look at my grammar and just focuses on the words.
The comma goes inside the quote.
I did have two periods outside the quotes.
Only two? Oh my God. Trust me. When I say I wrote it in an hour, that was what I was looking for. But anyway, you know, he's like, write me something else. And I said, it has to be, the right time. Right. And so he went away. I missed him. He wasn't home for Father's Day. And so I thought that was the best thing to do. What I said basically in the essay was that, how do you honor a stepfather? You know, right. When you already have, you know, when your children already have their bio dad. And so, and also combating the hurt that they must feel when the children naturally gravitate towards their father that they love so much. You know, we all have a really great relationship. We all get along very well. And you know, my kid's father is very, you know, very loved in their lives. And so I wanted to make sure that he was recognized for all the things he does on the daily, you know, for the kids. And my kids love him and that's who they see every day. And so, you know, whether children take advantage of it and they don't know it quite yet, I wanted to make sure that he was recognized and that everybody, I don't know if you know, but he loves attention.
Does he now?
And so I wanted to make sure that everybody knew. And we're very private about our relationship, we're private about our lives, and I wanted to make sure that everybody knew this.
Okay, well, I had to get it directly from the multiple horses' mouths, so.
When I first met Tyler,
oh my God,
he was like a really fun, amazing guy. Like, I always wanted to go over to his house. I always wanted to spend time with him. Like, whenever my mom said we were like going to do something, I would always ask like, is Tyler coming? Because like, I just wanted to like spend time with him and get to know him. Because I just thought he was like a great guy. Uh-huh. I just thought he was really funny, like really goofy. Right. And I just thought like he was just an amazing guy.
Yeah. And is he still that way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. He's still the same goofy, funny guy. Yeah.
Now, in his moments where he's serious and taking care of business, let's say, how is he different? Really different from the goofiness?
From when he's goofy, from when he's serious, you can tell the difference because it's kind of like the tone in his voice.
Right.
Where, like, if he's goofy, he'll like use like more of a sarcastic voice. But like when he's serious, he'll use like a regular stern voice.
Julie's got me figured out, man.
I'm telling you, man. She absolutely does. As soon as she said that, I went, that's exactly who that's. I know him. I know him. We also talked to Eric.
More into what has the relationship developed into? Is more of a friendship?
It's more of a, it's like a guardian kind of thing. Like. Right. Because, you know, he's my stepdad now, right, since they recently got married. But I mean, we're really close. You know, I would consider calling him my friend, but I also would call him something a little bit more closer than that, as like a guardian.
Right.
The baby.
Right. Yeah. Now, 20 years from now, 25 years from now, when Tyler is an older man, mm-hmm, and you've had 25 years now, 28 years of a relationship with him or whatever. Yeah. What do you think that's going to be like?
Honestly, I hope it's just going to keep getting better and better.
Right.
I mean, he's always going to be my stepdad as long as he's, you know, with my mom. Even if things don't work out, you know, I'll still consider him really close to me, you know, because we've built that relationship. But I'd say 25 years from now, I don't even know. I don't even know what 25 yeah, years
right.
from now
is. Right. I get it. Yeah, I get so. It. Okay.
So, Tyler, tell me about those kids, man.
Oh, poor interviewing Eric. It's hard. It's hard. They're such sweethearts. I mean, I can't be more grateful for the relationship I have with them. It's because of Monica that they are the kids that they are. You know, that's what I said in response on Father's Day. It's like, well, there's a reason why they're so easy to love. There's a reason why it's so easy to be in their lives. And I don't have a typical notoriously bad step, you know, relationship or step situation because they were already so great going in, and like their flexibility and malleability and you know, their capability of being in a new blended household was extremely, they had a lot of fortitude, and it was really, what could have been really hard, they took like champs and allowed us to become friends. So I've always said that from the beginning. I've always said I want to be their friend. I'm not going to be the disciplinarian. Monica's plenty good at that. We try not to gang up against her, but I do just try to be their friend, and much more beyond that evolves, and I love them both.
Right. And Monica, you did a fantastic job with those kids. Yeah. Those are absolutely wonderful kids.
It's my life's work.
And I had them both sit together and give me a little closing thought on you.
Okay. So a final thought in my head about Tyler is, like, from the bottom of my heart, is just that he's like an amazing guy. Just always, he's always been there. He's just always been there, and he's always been kind and nice. There wasn't ever a moment where he was rude or disrespectful. He's always been there. He's always respected us. He's always been loyal to our family. He's always been a funny, cool guy. He's always kept his chin up. He's always tried to make us laugh at any time. Even if we didn't, he'd try to make us laugh even more, which made it even more funnier. But he was just always there.
One thing I would say to Tyler,
he had a cold.
He has been an amazing guy and a huge impact on our lives for the past 2 years. Ever since we've been living with him, I'd say everything has been going smooth sailing, or everything has been smooth sailing. Everything has been going good. He's taking care of everything that he can, and he will do anything he can to make sure that we are doing okay, and that he makes sure that we're taken care of no matter what. And you know, it's something that you can't really repay someone back. You know, after all the things that Tyler has done for us, it's something that you can't pay him back. I'm forever in debt with Tyler. You know, he's an amazing guy. You know, I love him to death. He's someone that is very special to me. He's very close. He's probably one of the hardest working guys in Laguna. He's hands down the coolest guy you'll ever meet.
So if you're just now joining us,
he's just saying that.
He wants a new car. No, if you're just now joining us, this is your life. And I initially started it off as kind of a professional homage to Tyler. But what it turned out to was, when I was digging deeper, man, this is somebody you have to know. He's a Laguna local that has absolutely done something for this community. And he's got an amazing family, and I wanted you to meet them as well. But it's not just family that loves you, man.
Here's to you, Tyler, today and every day, for all that you do for our community, for bringing us all closer together through the station, and for expanding our horizons and pushing the envelope, musically and beyond. You, my friend, are one of the great visionaries in our community, and will go down in the history books of Laguna Beach as such. It's an honor to know you, to serve alongside and frequently collaborate with you, and most importantly, to call you my friend. Thank you for the gift of you.
That's Shayna Stabler from Stu News, in case you didn't recognize
him. Oh, my God. That's nice.
And no kidding, man. We could have done 18,000 of those type of clips with everyone that I ran across. 18,000 of those. Representing those 18,000, I brought in Alyssa, our most recent, our wonderful and recent music director, who, like everyone else, man, it didn't take long for her to go, Tyler's special.
So I originally recorded something while I was sick, and it sounded awful. So I'm glad that this actually got postponed a little. So a while back, you actually gave me the pleasure of putting together the scrapbook of the station.
Oh, wow.
So I got most of it done while I was sick, which was pretty cool. I did. It's nice.
It's beautiful.
And I left some pages so that way we can add to it and continue as we grow.
Wow.
And I got to find a knife sharp enough to cut through this cardboard because these will not come off. But when we had originally started talking and going through and doing the interview process, one of the things that me and you kind of clicked on right away was that we knew that this medium needed to change and it wasn't working the way it was. And that was one of the things that drew me, because I knew that you and I have the same vision and goals. And to work alongside with someone that loves this community and this passion that we both have, it's amazing. And I really am so grateful to call you my friend and my, as I say, my really one of my only friends right now here. But it's been such a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to so many more years together and aww, doing this. And I hope you enjoy everything. I know Ed put his heart and soul into this, and we do every day. And you guys are my family. So thank you for taking me into your family.
I'm going to explode.
Yeah,
I'd be very happy.
I would absolutely echo those sentiments. I love waking up and coming to work every day, man. That's a rarity.
Yeah.
You absolutely love coming into work, man. And any part of the day, it doesn't even matter whether I'm here at 2 p.m. and you're still here, you're taking care of business, or 6 a.m, whatever. I just absolutely love coming in here and working, man. And it's an atmosphere that you've created. It's an atmosphere that it's a skill that you honed over the years to make it comfortable for everybody else, man. Thank you. So, had the four family members here, your mom, your dad, your grandmother, your grandfather. This is how they left the studio. When did you realize that he's going to be okay? He's going to be fine.
Wow. I guess I've always felt that. I mean, it's kind of what I've always taught him. You can be whatever you want to be and it's going to be okay. And you pick it up and don't. My motto to him his whole life is, don't worry about it till you've got something to worry about. And so I think that's how he operates today. So I've never really worried about it or said, oh, but I think, you know, now when he can pay his own bills and, you know, have his own family, then, you know, he's going to be okay.
Is there a message you want to say before we say goodbye? Is there a little note you
that like? I'm really more proud of him than I guess probably he knows, but I hope he does know. And I wish him nothing but love and happiness and joy for the rest of his life. The same that, you know, we've had together as a small family and an extended family.
And Fletcher?
I knew he'd be okay when he was a sophomore in college. A freshman, I was worried about him. He was in a dorm and, you know, I was really, now he's independent. You know, but he moved out of the dorm. He bought a house. He rented the house out to other students. You know, so he basically lived rent-free as a sophomore in college. So I go, okay, he's got it figured out. So, you know, I knew from then, I didn't know what he would do, but it was clear to me that he had the wherewithal to be successful. You know, so, and then this radio station, standing on this roof, you know, installing the antenna, I knew he'd be fine.
Excellent.
I've just been proud of him since the day he was born on January the 3rd. I was smiling from ear to ear, and I still smile today. Only I hugged him a little tighter yesterday, his last day to be single and last day to be my baby. And I just felt a little tug at my heart. But he's going to be great. He'll make a great dad, a great husband, and he'll still be my baby.
And Pa?
Tyler, you're just one of the neatest people I've had the opportunity of being in my life. He's not my blood, but you couldn't tell that. I love him more than my own family, blood family.
And Fletcher, final message?
No.
has been great.
I think what stopped me was final message. I hope I never have a final message.
Okay.
It's hot in here.
Thank you. It got hot in here. Yeah, it did, man. You got a really special foundation there, Tyler, and it absolutely shows in everything you do for this city every single day, man.
I'm like my dad. I'm done.
All right. This has been anything else you want to add, Alyssa, Monica, before we close out?
Well, thank you, Ed, for the opportunity to really make someone feel like so special.
Especially probably someone that deserves it.
It was 6 years overdue.
It was
it was 6 years overdue, man.
Well, I think that it's a perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
And you're such a sweetheart and you're such a sweet man that you're the perfect person to do it.
Right.
And and so this is like my last week or whatever. So I think I want to thank you for the opportunity to be part of it. To thank my boss, my friend, then my boyfriend, then my husband, and now the father of our baby. And I'm going to support him in everything he does. Right. And I'm going to be the ultimate protector of the station because I, you know, was here for so long and my heart and soul went into it. But I think it's in really good hands.
Right.
And I couldn't be prouder of what it's become to this day and its city that we love and live in. And I echo what everyone said that, you know, he is as special as everyone's, you know, close to him says, and we're all blessed to know him.
Agreed. Now, I sent you, I'll close out with this, and it's kind of a little funny thing here that you'll know, and I hope that you'll call me and tell me, aha, I get it. You're gonna have baby Lily here very shortly, and we took a bunch of stuff to the baby shower, and of all of the things that you received from the baby shower, you got the case of baby wipes that I brought. I brought baby wipes. The greatest discovery on earth as an adult are the baby wipes. Trust me, you'll be hooked. You'll be hooked. You'll be the most confident man in town. I promise you, man.
I'll take your word for it.
Congratulations, Tyler. Thank you again, man. Thank you for what you do to the city.
I'm just speechless, Ed. This was the nicest thing anyone's ever done.
All right, we'll legal ID on that, man.